This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Ion Travel Podcast with CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here, and welcome to another edition of the Ion Travel Podcast. This week, a look at luxury travel through the lens of some legendary hoteliers. So, what's changed in the definition of luxury travel? And perhaps more important, what hasn't changed? I'll sit down with Sunny Garay, the managing director of the Waldorf Astoria in Washington, D.C. With Vincent Billiard, the managing director of the legendary Hotel Crillon in Paris. With Pierre-Louis Renault, who manages the Fairmont in Monte Carlo. And with Jonathan Crook, the hotelier who runs the new and ultra-luxe Peninsula Hotel right on the Bosphorus in Istanbul. First up, Vincent Billiard from the Crillon in Paris.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In the world of hospitality, which, by the way, it's a word that's getting redefined by the hour, there's a world of luxury, redefined by the hour, a world of service, redefined by the hour. It's hard to keep up, especially in this post-pandemic world where everybody is traveling, and they're not just traveling once a year. Some of them are traveling like once a week. We've all seen the airports full, hotels are full, hotel rates are at historic highs, airline fares at historic highs. Joining me now, Vincent Villiers, who's the managing director of a historic hotel, the Creole in Paris.
Right. Yes.
Vincent, we've seen the rush, right? But is seasonality gone? Because I think I can go to Paris at any time of the year now, and it's full.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. Great to be here. People have been weren't able to travel for quite a while during the pandemic, as you mentioned, and they've just wanted to go back. And Paris, when I talk about Paris, I see the light in people's eyes, and they want to go back. And you're right, it's not a place that people go once. It's people that have memories about that place when they first dated, when they first got married. So they want to keep going back, and we're happy to welcome them back. It's a city that everything's happening, a lot of great activities. So we're so happy to welcome people back from all over the world, region by region. We've seen Americans come back, Europeans come back. Then we've had a bit of Middle East coming back. We see the Asians have been coming back recently. So it's also coming back by waves. And we see more and more travelers coming, and we're excited to welcome them in Paris.
So it's more than just a numbers game, because now we have to start qualifying. What are they asking for now that they weren't asking for before the pandemic?
I think the customers today, they're really looking at more experiences. They need more attention. They need more one-to-one relationships. I've seen in my property a lot of requests or demand to talk directly to the concierge team, for example, to talk directly to the reservations team. So it's not just an online transaction anymore. People want to have a one-to-one conversation with somebody, whether it's at the reservations department, concierge department, and concierge, I've seen that department has taken a really important role from booking the car, the transfer, the greeter, the restaurants, the museums, shopping, because everybody wants to come to the location and wants to do the same thing. So we need to have this kind of access. Another department that's really important and I've focused on is the butler service in my property, because that's the direct contact between any guest in the hotel and the hotel team. And every guest in my hotel will have a butler, and I've seen the contact, and actually they use WhatsApp in many cases, and it has to be fast, immediate, quick, and one-to-one personalized.
Well, you mentioned technology there, so let's go back to that. If you take a look at the behavior of so many passengers or travelers, mm-hmm. they want to make their reservations online, but that sort of commoditizes travel, right? Who do you talk to? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, if something goes wrong, who do they talk to? And number three, online can't answer your questions. Mm-hmm. It can handle a transaction, but it doesn't tell you about what time I can get into the Louvre.
Right. Now that we see in our property, in the ultra-luxury segment in Paris, at least, which is where I'm from, we see customers actually booking through either travel agents, and then they'll have a one-to-one person in case something goes wrong, in case they change their mind, or directly with our reservations team. So they'll have a one-to-one conversation. Our online direct bookings, that without really a human interaction, is very minimal in our case. Because in the ultra-luxury segment, with rates that we charge, people want to talk to somebody. People want to have the email of someone, the phone number of someone. In many cases, they'll copy myself, the managing director, to have some, if they know me or through connections. And that's what we do all around the world, meeting people, to have those connections in case something goes wrong. But if nothing goes wrong, to have it personalized, to have this human interaction that will make the stay unique, memorable, personal.
They're looking also for an emotional connection.
That's what we do. We look at the, and that's what I tell my team, and that's what they do. From the reservations team, the concierge, or the butlers, my message to them is find out why is this guest coming to Paris? Why are they coming to our hotel? What are they celebrating? What's the reason, the purpose of the trip? And with that information, create this emotional impact, emotional connection. Find something that is unique about this trip and make it a big deal. Personalize the room, personalize the amenity, do something special for them. That's what we strive for.
So basically, you're going beyond the fruit basket.
We're going far behind the fruit basket. We have fruits because
I know that. Yeah,
but we're trying to personalize. We try to collect as many preferences about our guests as we can. I track repeat business in my hotel. I have a dream of having over 50% repeat guests in my property. It's only a 6-year-old hotel since it reopened. But I think success will come back from repeat.
It's a 6-year-old hotel since it reopened, but how old is the hotel?
So the hotel, it was opened first in 1909.
Thank you.
So it's actually 120 plus euro, but the building itself is from 1758. It was commissioned by Louis XV back in 1758. So it's a really historical and a lot of heritage building. But inside, it's quite contemporary. It's Rosewood. Rosewood manages the hotel since just over 6 years. So we've really got this contemporary residential sense of place inside, but a beautiful historical building.
You know, we talk about the conversation again. What are the guests specifically asking for that they weren't asking for in 2019?
The guests, they really like today, first of all, quick access, response. They have very little patience and attention. They want it fast. Restaurants, some trendy restaurants. Everybody wants to go to those. There's like 5 or 10 restaurants that are always requested. People want to cut the lines in boutiques. They want private appointments in either museums or boutiques or shops. This was less requested back then. People want private greeters and transfers more than before. We'll have to arrange it for them. They like this, again, this interaction, this personalized attention more than before, I feel.
So everybody's asking for Hermes to stay open late.
Yes, or just to get into Hermes, I think. that's getting into Hermes is already a challenge.
You know, I have to tell you, the last time I was in Paris, we were walking down the street, and I said, oh, let's look at Hermes. They said, oh, do you have an appointment? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't walk in the store.
No, I mean, if you pass in the morning, pass in front at 10 a.m., there's a line all around the corner. I mean, especially that brand has done an incredible job at their own branding and their desirability. That's an important word today in luxury, desirability. And people desire to go to Hermes, and it's become this incredible brand that people want to go to. We know them. They're right next down the road from us, but that's a good example of what people ask for today. Yes.
Well, they want the private tour of the museum early in the morning or late at night.
Yes, and a private shopping also. Similar to what we do in the hotel, they want this. That's why they have appointments, because they'll have the little salon, they'll have a coffee, they'll have a tea, they'll have somebody doing the human interaction. This is real ultra-luxury, is this one-to-one interaction, attention to detail, really customized and tailor-made experiences.
Okay, now the elephant in the room. We know that prices have been at historic highs, mm-hmm. and people don't seem to be very price sensitive. It's like, I want that room, I don't care what it costs, I'm getting that room. Mm-hmm. Can you sustain that?
We hope so. We feel that where we are priced today is what we're giving as a value to the customers. Maybe it was just not the right price 4 years ago or years ago. We do realize that the prices have increased. What I've told my teams in my property, and I think in different hotels in our company, if we're going to be charging those prices, it is expensive. Let's make it worth for the guests. So first of all, let's look at amenities, quality of service, personalization, but also attention to detail, the butler, the concierge, access, time, space. This is what people are looking for. So if we're going to be charging them, at least let's make it worth for them and make it value for money.
I have an admission to make. Many, many years ago, I became an amenities junkie, right? So I defined the hotel by which soap they put in the bathroom.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, if they put Acqua di Parma in there, I'm coming back.
Good.
You know, Hermes, I'm coming back. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with the pandemic, that changed everything, because people weren't doing individual bottles, so everything mm-hmm. was coming out of a dispenser.
Yes.
It looked like a bad college dormitory. what have you done since?
We had one change since a few years ago. We work with a brand called Bully. Bully is a very traditional, with a lot of heritage, brand from France. I think even older than my hotel. And they make incredible scents, products, so soap, shampoos, and everything. But also they're great at perfumes or different accessories. We work with them exclusively in Paris. The only one change we did, they were in plastic bottles. We went to a little aluminum, so to be more sustainable. But we're keeping this brand. They're individually wrapped and portioned. And actually, they're a great success. They're beautiful packaging. So that's what we did.
Okay, tell me the truth. How many of those leave the room?
A lot. Most of them leave the room. And that's okay. And again, that comes back to value. We're happy that people take them. We're happy that people enjoy them and take them home. As a matter of fact, we even leave a little bag for them to take it with them on the last night.
So since you'll be stealing these items, we'd love to give you a little bag to take with you.
Yeah, take them. I mean, you know, they're small portions. It's a souvenir. The same way people give key rings or luggage tags. Well, we also do that, but we can also give those little amenities. We're happy to.
I love it. My thanks to Vincent. One of the iconic luxury destinations is Monaco, and of course, Monte Carlo. And Pierre-Louis Renaud knows the south of France better than most. He now manages the Fairmont in Monte Carlo. but I've known him from his days at the Majestic in Cannes, and he knows luxury. One of the joys that I get when I travel is bumping into old friends, and but he's actually in Monte Carlo these days. But I first met him in Cannes at the Majestic when he was running the thing there. But now he's owning Monte Carlo. He is the GM of the Fairmont in Monte Carlo, but of course he's also the vice president of Accor Luxury Hotels. Pierre-Louis Renaud, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. So good to see you, Peter.
You're always my barometer of guest behavior, if you'll excuse the expression, guest demands and guest expectations. Mm. In the post-pandemic world, we've seen a lot of change that we never could have anticipated before as to who's traveling, where they're traveling, how they're traveling differently, what questions they're asking, who they're traveling with. It's all changed, hasn't it?
Yep. Well, there are things that we were expecting, and there are things that we are discovering. I would differentiate the two like this. Number one is that people want to take care of themselves a bit more deep than it used to be before.
About their personal wellness?
Yes, of course, but also they will insist to take a good meal, good well-being, good spa, good wine. You can see that they really want to treat themselves. They maybe are going to stay for a shorter period in the hotels or in the destinations, but they want to discover the destination in the deep and take the best of the destinations and of the resort they're staying. This is the first thing we're seeing.
So what you're really talking about is the hotel, not just as a place to stay, but the hotel is an enabler of experience.
For sure. I think the Airbnb factor has stimulated the hotel industry in the good way.
Tell me how they did that.
Because we had to create a difference with this rental solution. So if you don't provide the appropriate food and beverage concept, if you don't provide the appropriate well-being, if you don't have the right concierge, if you don't have the right solutions for family, for multi-generation traveler, the right technology, the right kids solutions, well, then you don't really differentiate yourself between these new competitors. So we have
so Airbnb was essentially a disruptor.
It was, but it brought to us a lot of stimulations to create a full experience, a 360 degrees experience in hotels.
Because I guess the concept is, if you're going, at least you have the opportunity, if you're going to stay at an Airbnb, to much more thoroughly immerse yourself in the culture because you're in the neighborhoods, you're going to the local grocery store, you're going to the local restaurants, and you're experiencing that local community. You have to now do the same.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that this is what the guests are experiencing, but that's not for today's debate. However, we are providing this experience because we are hiring locals. Our concierge are locals, our teams are locals, they know the region, they know the red neighborhood, they know how to read the guests, they know which kind of conversation to have, they know which kind of suggestion to have. You are really surrounded by the local community, and we have the experience and the keys on where to go in town.
You know, if you take a look at the training of traditional hoteliers, it was always, what are all the great things you can do at the hotel because you're staying at the hotel? Mm. Now it's, what are all the great things you do within a 50-mile radius of the hotel because you're staying at the hotel?
Yeah, with the digital world, a lot of thinkers thought that the concierge services would have more or less disappeared. It's the full contrary. The digital world is bringing solutions for distribution, reservations, marketing, for sure. But once the guest is visiting the hotel, they want real life. They want to see real people. They want to see the locals.
They want to have a real conversation.
They want to have real conversations. And this is crucial for us because we're going back to the roots and the basics of our jobs. And this is why the reason why our people and myself, I selected this industry and working in hotels, is to meet people, is to take care of the voyageur, as we say in French, and to bring them the experience and the discovery and the curiosity of our destination.
But that also now involves you retraining your staff.
For sure, for sure. The matter of reading your guest, understanding who is your customer, and adjusting your service, adjusting your communication, adjusting your message, depending of which one is your traveler, is key. Standards is a must-have. you know, it's not really a discussion, but we're not anymore in standards. We are really in the world of course, personalization, but of course of developing emotions. And this is what Fairmont is offering, by the way, with Sparkles. It's the program that we are educating and training our people in order to be able to give them the empowerment to deliver emotions within the hotel and outside the hotel to our customers.
You're going from the traditional approach of heads and beds to creating an emotional connection.
Yeah, back to the roots of our job, back to the roots of the...
of hospitality.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, it's just a question of how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be sincere. It's coming back to the recruitment you're doing. It's coming back to the empowerment you're going to your people. It's coming back to training them and giving them the opportunity to deliver this personalized service.
And of course, based on where you are in Monte Carlo, you're geographically located in a perfect position for all the south of France. Because if you go just... 50 or 60 miles, you're in Italy. And so you have everything right there.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing geographical location because not only you can enjoy Monte Carlo, but you have access to Italy, you have access to Cannes, to Nice, to Saint-Tropez. So this is a stunning spot and geographically extremely well located.
What's your biggest challenge?
I mean, the biggest challenge, of course, is to develop our business with the respect of the environment. I am convinced that every decision I'm taking and that I will take tomorrow will be taken into the consideration of the carbon footprint emission. Every decision we're taking has to be think and thought about this, and we need to share this information on what we do to our guests, because this is the second effect of the post-pandemic. It's the global warming, and you can see that our travelers, our guests, they really care about this and they want to see what we're doing for this.
Are they really asking those questions?
Well, they might not ask these questions, but they will see it and
they will
judge
register.
You and they will judge you on what you do and what you don't do.
So, you know, I've always thought, and you being in the hotel business this long, maybe you have something to say about this. You know, everybody will say, I'll only stay at a hotel if it has a health club. I'll only stay at a hotel if it has a pool. And then they never use it. But they like the idea that it's there, yeah. Right? Are you still seeing that?
Yes, of course. You want to have... What is important in the luxury world is to be free. And to be free is to have the choice. So you need to give the choice of deciding what the guest can do. He doesn't want maybe to go to the gym, but he wants to know there is the perfect gym and the best coach. He might not go to the spa, but he wants to make sure you have the best treatment and the best solutions. Same for room service, same for restaurants, same for the bar, same for every service you're offering. He might not want to use the kids' club, but he wants to make sure there is a kids' club in case he's deciding to bring the kids there.
You just mentioned two words that I wasn't going to talk about, but now I am, and that is room service. Because in the U.S., every hotel is at least contemplating getting rid of it. You're not.
No, the full contrary. I mean, especially in Fairmont Monte Carlo, we have some amazing balcony, sea view, facing the south, with you're above the sea. You can see Corsica, you can see Italy on the left, you can see Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat on the right. So you're on your balcony. What a better place to have an intimate moment to enjoy your breakfast or a quick bite at lunch or even a dinner. And enjoying the sunset. So no, room service is a real experience. It's a key differentiator for hotels. It is something you can't get in the Airbnb. It is something that really is going to make a treat for you. And you need to have the perfect room service solutions. Very good diversity of service, efficient and easy way of ordering, good service, good delivery, good art de la table, you know, good table setting. This is crucial. This is part of the roots of the hotel, is to be able to treat yourself in this kind of intimate moments.
So you're making me smile because you're telling me room service is definitely not dead.
Oh yeah, for sure.
My thanks to Pierre. Some of you may remember the old post office in Washington, D.C., a classic architectural landmark that had been abandoned about 12 years ago. Then Donald Trump came in and won the bid to restore it and convert it into a luxury hotel. And he did. But in May of 2022, he officially checked out of Washington, D.C. and sold the business. He sold the government lease to a group of investors who then turned it into the Waldorf Astoria. And now running the property, Sidney Gray, who came from the legendary St. Regis in New York, to maintain the lux and improve it without the Trump brand.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Every hotel has a history, and my next guest knows a lot about the history of the hotel I'm about to speak about. It was the old post office in Washington, D.C., and it really was a post office, but it was also an architectural marvel. And then it basically sat vacant for many, many years. And then it was put up for auction to see who was going to manage it, who was going to own it, by the GSA, the General Services Administration. And everybody bid for it. Hilton wanted it, Hyatt wanted it, Marriott wanted it. You name the hotel corporation, because it was a jewel and it had the best location ever. Guess who won the bid? Donald Trump. And he opened it up as the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., somewhat controversial. But to his credit, and people don't always give him a lot of credit, but on this one I'll give him some credit, they did a very good job on the restoration, and it needed a lot of restoration. How do you transform a post office into a luxury hotel? Well, they did it. And then after his administration, he sold the hotel. It's now being managed by Hilton. It's now a Waldorf Astoria. The Trump name is off the hotel, but the GM of the hotel, an old buddy of mine who used to manage the St. Regis in New York, is now running the Waldorf in Washington. Sidney Gray, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, we start off with architectural marvel, which it is. Mm-hmm. We start off with great location, which it has. And people still needed to find it, right? They still needed to know it was there because it was never a hotel before. So what have you done since the transformation with Hilton, right, to put it back on the map?
Well, I think you said it. It sits right between the White House and the Capitol building. I say it's probably one of the most desired addresses in town. And actually, it's probably one of the places you can find very easily because our clock tower is visible anywhere from the city, so you can never basically have difficulty finding it.
Well, the interesting thing about the clock tower is when they built Washington, D.C., the rule was no building could be taller than the Capitol building.
That's right.
The one that comes the closest is either the Washington Monument or your clock tower.
Yeah. And ours is actually, I think, the second or the third highest point from an observation deck perspective. And I highly recommend it because it's run by the National Park Service, and it's a lot roomier than the monument.
And you can go visit.
Exactly.
And they actually strike the clock, don't they?
Every Thursday, the Ringing Society from the Cathedral comes in, and they play those 10 bells as if it's just a walk in the park. But it's about an hour, and it's really phenomenal in terms of how you can come in and listen to that, but you have to be on the outside of the building because you cannot hear it in the inside, funny enough. It's just well insulated.
Was that the way it was designed?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. But answering your question from the previous, I think the biggest signature that we have put on the building was actually opening up Jose Andres' Bazaar. I feel like when you're in that lobby now, it's like listening to a stereo music. Before, we had obviously our Peacock Alley on the right side as the bar, and then the left has been basically is just balanced off with a beautiful Spanish cuisine, the tapas, and it's just, if you haven't been there, you have to go test it out.
And, you know, speaking of the coming full circle department, when Trump originally was going to open the hotel, Jose Andres was going to have his restaurant there at the beginning, mm-hmm. and there was a huge lawsuit because Jose Andres didn't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't like Jose Andres. I think Donald Trump sued Jose Andres, and he lost the suit. Jose said, I'm never coming back. Well, guess what? He's back. And now he's got the restaurant again.
Yeah, I think he was probably even more excited than we were to be back in the building. And
well, it was a victory.
It was, yes.
And for those people who've never been to this hotel, what amazes me is when you walk into the lobby, just look up, because it's open air, but it's not. There's a roof above you, but it's as tall as the hotel. It's an amazing. You couldn't build that hotel today.
No, I don't think any investor would actually spend as much money to openly build something like that, because at the end of the day, the ROI might be very questionable. Like even the hallways, it's so European, it's so large.
You could actually build extra rooms in the hallways if you wanted to.
Kind of extend it almost, yes, if it wasn't a historical building. But I think that kind of adds to the beauty of the building itself, and you can really get out and then be in the hallway having your morning coffee. If your partner is still sleeping, you can discreetly start your way, not too far away from your room. But the lobby, to your comments, I think it's just probably one of our strongest assets in the hotel, because it becomes a center gathering place for everyone, just because it's a inside outside, if that makes any sense.
It is. And then every hotel has what I call secret rooms. And I see you're smiling at me, but I'm going to talk about secret rooms. You have your king-size beds, and you have your suites, and everybody expects that. But because of the design of the hotel, as the hotel gets taller and the roof starts to kind of angle in, you've got some corner rooms there that are they're the cutest rooms ever, right? But you walk in there and you look, the ceilings are not the normal ceilings. They're not the normal walls. You have a little window that you can look at. To me, I love those rooms.
You're absolutely right. And I think I'll say this, the 263 rooms that we have in the hotel under different categories, usually in a common hotel, when you walk in a category hotel, let's say the deluxe rooms or the one bedroom suites, they will be exactly cookie cutter. In our hotel, every single room within the category itself is different. And the reason for that is because they were all post office places for people to work, and they were designed slightly differently than a hotel room. And as you can imagine, that's a very unique individual benefit, because I've never seen any other hotel when a guest would come in and say, I want, for example, room 822. Well, we have other one-bedroom suites. No, I want 822, just because they are so accustomed to its location, its configuration, and the way it's built. So,
I love about the hotel, if you look, you don't have to look even that specifically. You're going to see it as you walk down the hall in the lobby. You're going to see the original teller's windows.
Yes, you can.
From the old post office, right? That you kept them.
Yes, it was beautifully restored, and even in the hallways itself. Behind the shears that we have against the walls, you can actually still view the original windows and the doors. We have, you know, sheer rock behind it and the actual guest rooms. But I think the beauty of the building has been really, really restored. And that's something that's really to be proud of and to have our name on it.
You know, people talk about hotels of the past. They talk about hotels that are haunted. I have a feeling that there are some ghosts in the hotel. And I think the ghosts are old post office delivery guys who will ring twice. It's just a thought.
Well, there is the rumor, I mean, not the rumor, but I think one of the postmasters unfortunately fell to his death from one of the elevator shafts.
Now you're telling me this?
Well, I mean, I didn't want to scare you beforehand, okay. He apparently just takes a midnight watch on the building. But yes, I'm sure there could be some others, but I haven't personally seen one, so I can assure you that you'll be safe.
My thanks to Cenic. It's been a year for great luxury hotel openings in world capitals like New York, London, and most recently in Turkey, where the Peninsula Hotel planted its flag. Jonathan Crook talks about the change in luxury landscape in one of the world's greatest cities. Jonathan Crook, the managing director of the brand new Peninsula Hotel in Istanbul. Jonathan, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Peter.
So can you define luxury travel?
I think it's a very difficult definition because it means many things to many people. However, I think it's really something where luxury travel allows you to experience the world. It allows you to experience, I think, what more and more people for the cultures of around the world, but in an environment of security and safety, and in an environment of being very much looked after and cosseted, in the sense of you feel safe, you get everything you look for and touch and feel, and it sort of touches the senses throughout. And then you're beginning to tick those boxes, which I think makes a great destination or a great hotel, for example.
For me, the true definition of the word luxury means options.
Yes.
It's when you, not necessarily you're going to use the options, but just knowing that you have them.
Yeah. And, right? And the ability to get them as well, yeah.
Now, we are now living in a world, in this post-pandemic world, of an explosion of luxury hotels around the world. We're seeing that in the cruise line industry. Luxury cruise ships are coming up. We're seeing some airlines actually coming back to luxury. I wouldn't go so far as to say we have a truly luxury airline coming on board, but they're getting better on those long-haul, highly competitive markets.
Yep.
But nowhere is it more competitive than in a luxury hotel business right now.
That's right. I mean, if you look at, I mean, the Peninsula Istanbul, as you mentioned, is our new, one of our new properties. The Peninsula London just opened in September. And London is a different story because that's been 30 years in the making. You know, that's been a very obviously significant gateway city, where Istanbul is still an important gateway city and a bridge between Europe and Asia. And we took this remarkable project on because of its location, the significance of Istanbul as a growing, developing, well, not developing, I think it's past that city of growth. And obviously, Turkey is one of the largest and most attractive tourist destinations in Europe as well.
And of course, every hotel depends on airlift.
Yep.
If you're an international hotel.
Exactly.
You're dealing with an airline there that flies to more destinations than any other airline in the world. Yep.
The new airport is outstanding. And their reach, as you mentioned, is truly global. I think over now 270 plus destinations. And they've been recognized many years in a row as the European Airline of the Year. And Turkish, I mean, from a hotelier point of view in Istanbul, they are such a brand waiver for Turkey tourism. And they're very generous in bringing journalists and our travel sponsors into the to experience Turkey and experience our hotel, and they really, I think, understand the importance of being a flag waver for the country.
Plus, you have a very interesting location.
Yes,
you're right on the water.
Yep, right on the water. So there's, as you talked about, expansion of luxury hotels. So Istanbul has many great offerings, and there's no doubt about it. We've just been blessed with this new Galataport development in an area called Karakoy. But what makes it unique is our 250 meters of water frontage, but looking straight across to the Golden Horn. So we sort of play this game between Old Town and New Town. So you can literally walk across the bridge, past all the fishermen, as you mentioned.
Well, let me explain the bridge for everybody who's listening. The Galata Bridge, I know it very well because when we did our special called Hidden Turkey, I got a chance to be a local and get out there and fish from the bridge. And Jonathan will tell you, if I'm exaggerating, I was one of about 400 people on that bridge that day.
Every day.
With our rod in the water and hoping to catch it. And I did.
Yeah. And they're every day of the year.
Yeah.
Snowing or whatever.
Oh, I was in the rain. I went out in the rain and I caught fish. Yeah.
It's actually going to become one of our Peninsula Academy programs. So you can take, appealing to all ages and all fishermen, of course, but great for teenagers and kids to sort of go out in the afternoon, join the locals on the bridge where there's, as you say, maybe even thousands, but and try and catch some of the small white, I guess like the white bait fish, small fish, which are in the Istanbul, in the Bosphorus.
Exactly. But where that bridge is, at the end of that bridge, if you look, you'll see the hotel.
Yep. So you're straight at the hotel. And then on the other side, of course, is the Spice Market. And then you're quickly into the Grand Bazaar and all the World Heritage Sites. And the hotel is really connects to that bridge. And then next to that, as you mentioned, the cruise industry is the new Galata Port, which opened two and a half years ago, which is state-of-the-art, being claimed as one of the best cruise ships terminals in the world now. And it creates this sort of seamless connection between the ship and the land, straight to some wonderful restaurants and shopping, the new Istanbul Modern, and then all the traffic and the buses taking people out to the tourist sites is hidden underground. So it sort of it connects you very quickly to Istanbul if you're coming by cruise ship.
I always look to the peninsula as an innovator of design and function, not just design, but function. And I remember years ago checking into the Peninsula Hotel and in Hong Kong and getting into the bathtub And what was in the bathtub? You guys are the first hotels ever to not only put a TV in the bathtub,
yeah,
which I gotta love that, but you also put a telephone.
Yeah.
And it was actually designed to not let anybody know you were in the tub.
Exactly.
So that if you're watching the television and the phone rings, the TV immediately mutes and you go, hello, and do all your business in the bathtub.
Yep.
Then you got even smarter in your hotel in Shanghai at a time when, if you look at what the negative touch points were at hotels for guests, one was international telephone calls. The minute you picked up that phone, you were paying a premium. So you did a VOIP deal, right? So that talk about luxury with options. Every international call from that landline was free, right? Now, here's the interesting thing. When they told me that, I went, oh my God, I'm never going to leave the room. I'm just going to call everybody I know. Well, you know that didn't happen, but I love the idea that I could. And they did a survey after they thought, oh my God, if we do this, it's going to cost the hotel so much money. They did a survey later on to find out, in a 3-day stay, how many times was the phone actually used for this free call? 3 times.
Probably none.
One, for them to call back to say, we've arrived, everything okay? Great. The second call was going, hi, is everything okay? Have the kids been arrested? Good, thank you. And the third one was, we're leaving. But they love the idea that they could, right? So that was the design I saw in Shanghai. The bathtub, of course, I found in Hong Kong. What am I going to find at the peninsula in Istanbul?
I think when we started speaking, it was all about the seamless experience and having everything you need or may not need, but it's there as a luxury travel. So in the room now, our technology is in now, I think, our fourth generation. It's all touchscreen based on sort of Samsung tabletware and such. So it's very easy to operate as you experienced. In the bathtub now, we have a spa mode, so the lights dim and spa music comes
on. Oh, excuse me.
And you can sit back and enjoy life, which is very important. We obviously have the very...
Mr. Greenberg's in conference. Yeah.
We have the world-renowned nail dryer, which comes in...
Oh, the nail dryer, that's the cool thing. Not for me, but for my women listeners, I'm telling you, that... And it's hidden.
Hidden in the drawer. You pull it out, put it on the desk, and you just casually put your nails underneath it.
Very cool. Very cool.
And then with our most of our hotels, but especially with London, Istanbul, we have our valet box as well. So everything comes through as a private valet box situated next to your front entrance door. So all your laundry, your newspapers and deliveries can come through into the room without you being disturbed, which is always waiting for that suit to be pressed in the morning or when you're going to get this. But you don't have to think about that because it just comes through.
You've been in the hotel business long enough to remember what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
What's the most annoying sound I ever hear at a hotel? You ready? It happens usually when you're just about to take a nap. Loud banging on the door, go, minibar, come with this guy. Like, do you really think I stole the Diet Coke? Come back later, right?
So, and that's something we know now when you're in and out of the room anyway. And another thing we've actually just added to our property, and as London as well, is that for the laundry, our hotels, we guarantee all laundry back within 6 hours, 24 hours a day, there's no holidays.
Whoa.
At the same time, we don't ask you to fill in a sheet. You know, remember those three ply, you know.
With carbon copies.
How many socks, how many underwear, how many vests. Is vest a t-shirt or a t-shirt a vest? And all these complicated questions. And all we ask is you put it in the bag, put it in your valet box, press the button for pickup, and we'll bring it back. And there's a trust there. So you trust us, we trust you, because we're Peninsula and we have, you know, garnered that over the years. And everything just gets charged seamlessly, and you don't have to be hassled in signing off documentation.
My thanks to Jonathan, to Cindy Garay, and to Vincent Villard, to Pierre-Louis Renault, and my thanks to you for listening to this Eye on Travel podcast. For more conversations with the world's leaders in travel, as well as answers to your travel questions, be sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. And for all the breaking travel news, just log on to petergreenberg.com.
The Eye on Travel podcast is produced by Amanda Morris and Anthony Protis Chung. For more content from Peter Greenberg and the Eye on Travel team, visit petergreenberg.com. Eye on Travel is a production of CBS News Radio.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in Rome to meet Pope Francis for a rare, wide-ranging interview.
Do you like when you are called the people's pope?
El Papa de la gente.
It is very important to talk about the future. You have called for a ceasefire. Can you help negotiate peace?
Join us for our special hour with His Holiness on CBS.
Pope Francis the First, a CBS News primetime special. Tonight on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.